There you are. Let me try and get you.
You're gonna hang up. All right, can you still hear me?
Yeah, and you're now the co-host.
Excellent. Oh, and look, it's my friend Joey Nicholson. Oh, how I love that face.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Ah, I need a little Joey.
Yeah, we all need it from time to time. No, especially now.
I literally just sent Greg a message earlier. It was a, oh, I thought I sent Greg a message. It was the four different kinds of like dopamine, serotonin, and whatever, the four different things.
Endorphins and oxytocin.
And it's like, how do you get this set? You know, this is the set for like physical touch and
Yeah.
sex, and
Oxytocin from physical touch.
this is the one for like, you know, getting something off checked off your job list or whatever.
Dopamine.
And then I think there's one for working out. Well, at least there I make one for working out.
Dopamine and endorphin.
Dopamine. So what are the
And
four
endorphins.
things? Oxytocin is the love, like touchy lovey one.
The bond chemical.
What's serotonin is the get shit done, or is that dopamine?
Dopamine. Dopamine is the reward.
What's the serotonin for?
Serotonin helps you, yeah, keeps you balanced.
How do you make it?
That's a
Good
complicated,
question.
very
Yeah, I was about to say,
complicated question, honey. That's
yeah, you got to ask God.
well, you can ask a chemist, and you could ask a there's doctors that study that, and we could.
Well, okay, maybe this is just a silly post, but somebody sent a post today and it said serotonin is a mood stabilizer, and you can get it from sunlight, walking in nature, meditating, eating healthy, and proper routine.
All those
For sure.
things don't make it. All those
Yeah.
things help the processes in your body make it.
Yes,
Make it, yeah.
so that's, I mean, that's a scientific point of view here, but I gotta say that
Absolutely.
it's not causal. So you cannot be your body cannot properly process or make serotonin. You can walk outside in nature all day long.
And be in the sun all day.
Yes, and get enough sun and eat
Got
right,
it.
and it
Got
won't
it.
work.
Got it.
So
Got
it's,
it. Got it.
but your
For
body
some people, it
needs,
does work.
well, no, your body needs those things, but your body might not be able to make serotonin despite having those things.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
It can happen, but it doesn't have to happen.
Yes,
It's
it
a
helps.
one-way street, not a two-way street.
It's a help. It helps that happen. It's not causal. So there's elements that help that processes work better in your body, but they don't cause that process to work better in your body.
Oh,
Okay, they don't.
yeah.
Do
Okay.
you see the difference?
Yes. Okay. I totally get what they make it possible for your body to do the work.
It may make it more possible.
Make it easier for your
Yep.
body to do the work.
Yep.
But you still have to do the
Absolutely.
work.
Your body
I
still
get it.
has to work. Yeah, your body might be broken. Our bodies get
Yeah.
broken inside. And so we could have all the right elements and it might still be broken. We gotta fix it.
I'm glad that you say that, although I'm actually doing pretty good at making most things. So, like
Good.
mostly I can make joy juice in a very a variety of ways. I don't know all the labels for all the kinds of joy juice, but I pretty much have it figured out. Like I know I kind of understand how my brain works, and I'm like, oh, I know what happens when I go down that pathway. That's a terrible idea. I'm gonna not do
Yeah.
that again.
Right. Well, all the time, all the things that we do when we step away from the rest of creation and pretend like we're something other than it are not helpful in keeping our body processes working. So, you know, people
Yeah.
think that's mumbo jumbo to go stand in the grass with your shoes off, but it actually is not mumbo jumbo.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I've noticed seems to really make a difference for me is standing around a fire.
Oh, yeah.
There's something like deeply something
It's
inside my
like,
body that gets really happy around a fire.
The sunshine that is held inside the wood. So the sun is an element and that helps your body know how to process correctly. And the sun is inside that piece of wood, and when you burn it, it lets it out. So you're feeling that at night, which is a wonderful experience. I love me a campfire, baby, or fireplace. I'm all about that.
That's great. So anyway, I think we're all here. It's 7:02. I haven't caught up with Chuck and how he's doing, but I can do that after we're done. Because I like to check on Chuck every week, or at least every other week, and see that he is healthy and surviving. Anyway, I thought that part of our process tonight would just be, we go to Narsal every year for a combination of things. One of the things that I go to Narsal for is just knowledge, information, especially early on, because I'm new to this job. So early on, I was just like writing shit down like a crazy person. It was pre-bike rec, and so I could store a lot of information. I could take great notes. But post bike rec, I really go there to see my people. I go there to like be surrounded by people who acknowledge that what I'm doing is valuable and necessary, and that the world needs us to say out loud that the way we're doing it is just dumb, and it's not working. Anyway, being having that taken away from me really sucked. And so I'm annoyed at the hotel for caving to this. I'm annoyed at the universe for like allowing people to get on Facebook and threaten to kill someone. And they're still posting. They posted an hour ago. So like I one time put a picture on a screen where accidentally one of my titties was out, and I got banned. I could not post for like 5 days or 7 days for having a bit of a nipple out.
You had a body part, Anne. How dare you?
Yeah, right. And a body part that in
Oh.
Missouri, who is not the world's most like liberal state, Missouri allows women to say like, if he
No
can have his nipples
shirt.
out, I should get to have my nipples out. Missouri has agreed that that's a fair statement. But I don't understand why we as a society are allowing this kind of hatred to level up to this level where like kids getting shot in school is just happening every day and no one even fusses about it.
Yep.
And yet you can post execution time on Facebook and get away with it. What is going on with society? I would just like to I would like to figure out what on earth is happening. Someone has a hand up, and I think this is a lovely night for just people to ask questions, right? So I'm gonna unmute Linda.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask if I could tell our story very, we've gone through hell the last year. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because we are looking for just an assistance in any way, shape, or form we can get. My husband was assaulted a couple of years ago. The county buried it very sloppily. But then the guy and his attorney of course, they got the information about my husband. He's a level one. It's confidential. They told
What
everybody
state
in
are
the
you in?
neighborhood. I'm Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in Colville, and I don't know what this person told our neighbors, but at one point he yelled the word pedophile as my husband was passing through his property, because we have a shared easement on our way from our property to a public road, so we have to drive by there every day. Things got really bad. The county did not resolve the problem, ignored us, treated us with little to no dignity, the opposite. They wouldn't communicate with us. So I ended up filing a complaint with the Seattle FBI office about the county. Then all hell broke loose. We're still trying to figure out what's happened. People started coming onto our property. We've been vandalized, tens of thousands of dollars of vandalism, including this cabin that I built myself. It's an extension of myself. Yeah, all the screws were pulled out, boards were pulled off, the structure was undermined. I almost tore it down a few times, but my husband stopped me because I couldn't stand to see myself metaphorically disassemble little by little, because it continued, and it continues to this day. The vandalism, we've been harassed, in ways that I can't even tell you. Been followed. I got dash cam video. These people, not just behind me, but when I would park, I kept the dash cam on, and the people would circle around the street, the same cars. I have it all recorded pretty
He's
damn
muted.
easily. You muted yourself. Oh, hang on.
I don't think you're muted now.
She's
No.
not. Can you hear me? We can hear
Yes.
you now. We couldn't hear you for a minute. Okay. I have on dash cam people running out and taking pictures of me in my car,
someone broke into my car and put stuff on the road behind me after I broke down. My husband's coming in. We were
And you
defamed.
moving is not an option.
What was that? Moving. Well,
Moving is
and
not an
this is,
option.
we plan on moving, but I've had a lot of time to think about that also. We fell into a
I
very
get
deep
it.
depression.
I get it.
Yeah,
I
it's
think we're literally
expensive.
here to say we can't just all move, right?
Yeah,
Isn't that going to
thank you.
be sort of
Thank you.
our, that's going to be
It's a
our.
plan in the future. Yeah, we also discovered gold on our property, of all things.
Yes.
So it, yeah, so I can, there's a lot of different factors involved here, but it all began with a neighbor from hell who his ob him and his attorney obviously filled in the county. I mean, God knows what they've said. And
Yeah.
now we've been charged with crimes we didn't commit, gross misdemeanors.
Yeah.
So we're really going through something, and I just wanted to help to tell our story real quick.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what,
It's
I am hearing stories like yours more and more often.
yeah.
I'm getting emails more and more often
Yeah.
of people who are, there's a Facebook, hunt your pedophile Facebook group. And
Yeah.
honestly, what Danelle and I were talking about earlier was I think it's time where we got to stand up against Facebook and just say, like, you're not following your own policies. And I think we got to do that out loud to the universe, like, what the actual, how is that legal? Like, do the FBI, like, can you really just get on the internet and say execution time and put someone's face and name and crime? And is that legal?
It shouldn't be. I don't believe it is. I don't believe that is free speech. We've dealt with
We had
other
an
issues
attorney in the room.
regarding things. Yeah,
Don't
that
we have
would
an
be
attorney in
considered.
the
I do
room?
not think that would be considered free speech. It, there's a test
Oh.
for whether something is free speech or whether it qualifies as a threat. And a
But
threat is illegal.
it's an imminent danger thing. But if you name a
Yeah.
person and what you're going to do to them, that is an imminent danger. That it really is a threat. Can I ask you some
Absolutely.
questions? You can ask questions. So you said you're in Seattle.
We're in Colville, Eastern Washington.
You're in
It's
Eastern
just outside of.
Washington.
Yes,
Okay,
yes.
so can we communicate after the meeting or tomorrow? Because I live in Washington as well, and I've lived in other places. So, but I'm originally from here, and I have a. So I would love to talk with you some more, but I have also some really quick questions. Is your property posted with signs that say no tr posted no trespassing with the word posted on them?
Yes.
All right, that's good, because a lot of people don't realize that that's a very powerful tool, and they think that you can't trespass, and you're really not supposed to, but if you don't put the signs up that say posted no trespassing, people can say they didn't know it was your property. And you have cameras?
Yes, we had a security system that was subsequently it was called unformatted. We had video of a lot of things, and then it's a long story. Somehow something happened to the DVR, and now we can't get to the information unless we've got to unlock it again. The information was somehow locked up. There's more, a lot more that's actually happened here than I could, that I feel comfortable, I guess, saying in a meeting like this. It goes a lot farther, a lot deeper. Yeah. Well,
I
yeah.
understand. So there's some things you can do, and I understand that you are saying that you have, a valuable asset on your land. But that means also that you should be able to sell it for a pretty penny, and your life is more valuable than whatever is on your land.
Yes,
And
we're in the process of
your
doing that now.
well-being, and your well-being, being able to live peacefully, in addition to being alive. Obviously, being alive is number
Yes.
one, and number two is living peacefully. But there are some things you can do, and I would love to talk to you. I'm not an attorney. I'm just a woman forced to register. So, and I've
Okay.
experience some things that you're talking about, know other people who have as well.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
maybe we can exchange notes and help each other. That's all I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
Just not take up the whole call
Absolutely.
on it, but I'd happen to do that.
Absolutely. And I'll wrap it up by saying just a couple more things. My husband were and I were gone. Our house was tossed. All of our files were gone through. Food was thrown on the floor. It was really bad. And I've collected as much evidence as I've been able to, and we are working on, the property value, all that stuff. So everything is in works, it's been considered, and I'd love to be in touch with you, and I just wanted to share our story.
Oh,
Thank
we're
you
here.
for
Yeah.
sharing, and we're glad we could be here to,
because this is the kind of story that you can't tell this story in front of many people and get empathy. Most people, there are people who have empathy for you, but there are a lot of people who are just super noisy about being mean to you, and everyone's afraid of those people. And it's
They're
exactly
afraid.
what is happening in the world right now. And it's exactly why the Proud Boys are, they're making so much noise, because like all of a sudden, oh wait, you're allowed to just say racist shit out loud and no one. Oh, well, that's great, right? And hating on us is even easier than hating on immigrants.
I've been super aggressive in going after the entities that I know are involved. And it's actually working. Almost everything has come, the harassment, the vandalism, almost everything has come to a grinding halt. And it is
Well,
because I've been
sometimes
very aggressive.
you just gotta be stronger. And good job for putting up with this, baloney.
Yeah, I admire you and your fortitude and persistence, and it's really hard. But they expect us to curl up in a ball and put a rock over ourselves when they treat us like that, and we can't do that. So good for you. And I'm happy to talk to you maybe tomorrow. We can exchange contact information through Anne. Is that okay, Anne?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yep. I'm
Sounds
in
good.
Washington too, so.
Okay.
So the next thing I just wanted to like address is this idea that we had on the phone the other day, just about like we can't make less noise this next year than we made the last year. We kind of have to make more noise, because not making more noise just lets them win and makes them do this every year. And they literally said on the video that I watched this morning, we're going to do this every year. So I think we have to partner with a hotel that is willing to say, no, you can't just come and protest this group that's been around for years and years and years. Having peaceful adult conversations with, facts and figures and people with PhDs and, does anybody agree with me?
I agree 100%. They don't get to decide that. They don't get to decide anything for any of us. And we should not let them. And, my perspective is these sorts of groups of people have been around forever. They always choose the person or person group that they think is the weakest because they're bullies. And that's exactly what they've done with us. That's why they chose us. And they only get to do what we allow them to do to us. And just like this very brave woman that we just heard from, it's really hard to stand up and fight. I mean, sometimes it's excruciatingly painful and difficult to do. But if we don't do everything that we can do, they will just be more emboldened and they will do more. I mean, that it's you, we have to.
I have, in my own personal life, I have dealt with this in that if someone says something snarky about me or my partner, I almost always will like send them a long, like, not mean letter, but a long, like, listen, you're being mean to me. I didn't even know this guy 18 years ago. You're being mean to me. Like, what makes you think that's like the better way to be? That's just gross, right? And furthermore, I've written letters to various people. And one guy that he was friends with and failed to tell was he had been a parole officer. And writing that letter was really helpful for me. I find it really like it made me feel good. Just to say, like, if you're a parole officer, your job should be wanting people to like do better and like rock their life and not reoffend. And that is exactly what this person is doing. And you're still going to be an asshole? Like, how is that helpful? And of course, none of them ever answer me, but I just sometimes like to believe that some of them hear it a
You planted a
little.
seed.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a Janice, I think. I just deleted because we talked to her about her a minute ago. Where are we?
Janice.
Janice, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just saying that I agreed with you, Anne. When you ask, has anybody agreed with you? Yes, I agree with you. But I know John's got his hand up there. He probably has something more important to say. But thank you.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I do have a few things to bring up. The opposition and the threat reminded me of a couple of things. My first NARSAL conference was held a number of years ago in Albuquerque. When NARSAL was getting it set up, there were some protests that were raised. NARSAL had a couple of the early arrivals, including someone I know very, very well. Meet with the city officials to explain exactly what was going on and to hold, and it was enough to get the city government, the Albuquerque city government, to hold an open meeting to have people, members of the public, to come in and to discuss the issue. And according to what I was told, the number of people who showed up to this meeting were, you can count them on the fingers of one hand. So a good deal of it was sound, noise, and the conference went off very, very well. Now, admittedly, it helped because there was another conference going on at the same location at the same time, and the conference involved members of, I want to say it was regional or New Mexico law enforcement. But the people at NARSAL, once they found out about these first protests, contacted the higher ups, contacted the city, and were able to sit down and talk with them and address all of these fears, all of these concerns, and open the door for the members of the Albuquerque city government to say, hey, you want to sit in on some of these meetings? You're more than welcome to. Now, that was one thing. Another, and I saw this in an email I got from NARSAL just today. I don't know how many others saw this or not, but it had to do with the cancellation, and it had to do with the comments that y'all have just been bringing up. The suggestion was somehow, some way, to put together a, my words, not what I saw in the email, a media response team to have someone on hand. And I think you may have seen the same thing. So,
Well, and this isn't from this article, but that's one of the things that our coalition is talking about doing, right? We've got
well,
a little like a little place where you can like click a box and ask for help. You can like turn something in and say, you know, we would like someone to respond to this.
yeah, well, that's sort of like what it was. The hope was that there would be some folks, whether volunteers within NARSAL ranks or, if necessary, you have to pay someone. I don't know if this would be like a public relations person or not, but to have one person or a team of persons who are all on hand to respond like that to
Yeah,
public
I think that's the
concerns.
plan. I think that's the
Okay.
plan is that, you know, it's a pretty big coalition. There's a lot of people on it. We're literally like writing little, so like we're each assigned like a section. I've been assigned to two different sections, and then we're supposed to basically write up a, you know, some stories, and there's a whole like
And the NARSAL,
order.
the comments that were being brought up in this one email is to have someone who is like a designated media response person. Now, that was one
Just
thing,
one person, and then they're there
or a
24 hours a
team,
day.
or a team that
Well, the, yeah, the
brought
team is
up.
what we're working on.
Okay. Now, I wanted to shift directions to offer maybe just a little bit of, in the long term, hope. Those of you who have heard me on these conferences and elsewhere before, but just to let you know, and Joe, you know very well, and you too, you've been on my radio show. For those of you who don't know, I host a weekly talk radio show out here in Little Rock, Arkansas. My program is called It Could Be You. Tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 3 Central Time. Again, that's 2 to 3 Central Time. I'm going to be interviewing a couple of representatives who are putting together a community of tiny homes to address homelessness. They're working on this. It's on a 50-acre site just outside the city limits of Little Rock. And the first phase is supposed to be completed by the end of this year. Now, the downside is that as of now, registrants and violent offenders, quote unquote, violent offenders, are ineligible to apply. However, I did, in private talks with these individuals, elicit from them that depending on how things go in the future, they may be willing to drop those prohibitions, those restrictions, and allow registrants, if they are homeless, to apply. I do not know when that would fall into it. I do not know if there's going to be a time frame, but this group, they have worked with architects, they have worked with city government. It's based on a project, it's based on a program addressing homelessness, and the model is set in Austin, Texas. So they've borrowed a lot from that. They've also borrowed about similar, they've also borrowed from programs that are going on in other countries, Denmark in particular. So this is something that is going to be addressed on my program tomorrow afternoon. Again, I have to specify that so far, registrants are not eligible, but they're going to be talking about, among other things, getting such projects off and running, what has to be done, how to address funding, things like that. So that could be something that y'all might want to listen to and maybe get a few ideas from, maybe get a few recommendations for it. Now, in the meantime, I have promised that I would send these individuals the link to that documentary that was made regarding the town, if you will, or the community of registrants in the boonies out in Florida. The people are willing to look at that. They really didn't have an idea as to the real special pressures that registrants have to face, but they are willing to look at that documentary, and they are willing to talk with registrants at some not too distant point in the future. So that was something that I wanted to share with everyone.
Yeah,
And
I would love it. I would love it if, I don't know, it would freak me out and I would not sleep for weeks. But I love the idea of like convincing someone who thinks that nasty Haiti way, sit down and have a conversation with, let's say, man, what if we could get Megan Walsh back? No, not Megan Walsh. Megan
Ebos.
Ebos back. You know, she doesn't have any registrants in her family. She doesn't have any special connections to someone on the registry, and she still thinks it's bullshit. And she was herself a victim.
Well, there too, and the person who was on this last time talking about the effort in Florida. So it's there. I'm just thinking again that one of the reasons that we're all here is to try to learn from each other and to try to pool our resources. Now, before going any further, anyone who's here in the state of Arkansas within the broadcast area, go to 88.3 FM. For anyone else, go to the station's website, kabf.org, K-A-B for boy, F for Frank, dot org. There's live streaming links on there. I'll probably not be in a position to take calls from listeners unless they change their minds and show up in studio. But this is something that I think y'all need to know about. If nothing else, maybe to get a few ideas from, to learn from perhaps. And what also you were talking about, the bullying, all of that, study your history. The same tactics were used by the Gestapo and by the SA in Germany. I've seen it going on in other countries as well. This was obviously before I wound up on a registry, but learn from
Oh, 100%. 100%. These are things straight out of history. Now,
and
people don't want
collect.
to hear that, right? They don't
Well,
like hearing that. And
and what
it's
the
not changing anybody's mind,
well,
but
again, this is where people who are not on the registry, the spouses and so on.
yeah.
Again, we've talked about this again and again. You have more clout, you carry more weight than those of us who are on the registry because
Yeah.
when these laws are
That's
passed,
right.
who's looking at, who's considering the potential collateral damage that's being done to the families? There was a following the news just today about the big, beautiful bill being passed. There was one commenter who was talking about the harm that's going to be done with the passage of the bill. That and there were some people who were going on saying, "Oh, you want people to die. Oh, you want people to fail. Oh, you want to bring harm to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." Is it possible, especially for people, the family members of the loved ones, to start using similar tactics to say, "Oh, you want people to fail. Oh, you don't want people to be safe." Something to think about.
Well, I mean, I think I find more and more people who aren't on, just regular people who don't have a, they don't have a skin in the game, right? They don't know anybody in their, or they don't have any family members or whatever. But I find that more and more just regular strangers I strike up conversations with are, I get a lot less, wait, what? You're saying what? And I get a lot more, because it's gotten so pervasive, and the more people they put on the registry, for every one of you, there's five of me, and that means that there are 5 million of us. The problem is that we don't usually use our words. I mean, I literally talk about this everywhere I go. I'm in a big I belong to like the Burning Man community. It's a huge group of people who all kind of coalesce around a set of principles that we agree to live by. And I'm having regular conversations with people in those groups. I'm changing hearts and minds just slowly, but I'm trying to do it more often. I'm trying to do it everywhere I go, right? Because we just don't really have a platform. I think we need to make a platform, and I think we need to start. I have dropped the ball on my big project mainly because I have done a stupid thing that has just scared me, and I'm terrified. Also, just a million other projects. But I think the idea that I think there are people out there who are willing to say this is baloney. They're just not going to do it by themselves.
That's what we're trying to do with changing the narrative, Anne, is what you're that exact thing that you're explaining is what changing the narrative is, and to let people realize that if they are not already touched by it, and as you're noticing, many people are,
I'm touched by it four ways.
they're
Four
about to be.
ways.
They're
One
about to.
person.
Yes, and that they're either touched by it or they're about to be. And if they care about that, if they care about prevention, they need to be paying more attention to our messaging and less attention to the PBS, which is what I call those guys, because I don't feel like that they get to be honored by the name they claim. So I call them the PBS. But anyway, people need to be turning away from that message and turning towards the message that we need to be sharing with the community and culture at large. It's great for us to talk to each other and encourage each other. Then that's one of the things we do at NARSO. Like you said, it's kind of the love fest, which of course, some people would hear those two words and run away with it and say something horrible. But the fact that's what it
It's called
is,
the what?
it's like a love fest. We all love each other at NARSO,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
We're so happy to see our NARSO family, and we feel supported and encouraged and seen and loved. And we give each other really important information, except for the people that are not at NARSO are the people they need to hear the message. And
Yeah, exactly,
that's the
exactly,
narrative we need to change.
exactly.
And so the narrative of prevention needs to come from us.
I
Yeah,
got a
right.
call. I got a call from someone here in Arkansas just a few days ago. He had no idea that groups such as WAR or NARSOL even existed. And that's the recur that is one of the most important and recurring problems, that there are so many people out there who wind up, or they know someone who's wound up in a situation where they or someone they know is going to be on a registry. And I was guilty of it myself for years.
Sure.
For
You wouldn't you don't
years.
know until you're forced to know, until you
Well,
start to have to read the books and learn the things.
and not only that, but for years afterwards, laboring under the misconception, hey, there's no one out there who knows even the slightest, has even the slightest inkling of what I've gone through. And it took meeting. It took meeting with others on the registry, and then meeting with groups, the members of NARSOL, the members of WAR, so many others over the years. And it is empowering. One of the lessons that I learned, okay, have what you might call an elevator speech ready to go. Mine is, do you know what the minimum age is to put someone on the sex offense registry in your state? Now, for the record, in Arkansas, it's 13.
14.
It's 13. And the fellow I was talking to just this other day, no, he didn't know. He did not know. And then when I told him about how even lower, younger it is in other states, I could, in a manner of speaking, hear his jaw drop and hit the floor. So little speeches, little elevator speeches like that. And there are other things that I've considered saying. Okay, have you ever looked at porn of any kind? Have you ever, whether it's been online or when you were younger, did you look through Playboy or something like that? And well, if you did, you're a good candidate for winding up on the sex offense registry. That grabs their attention, because so many, they don't know how easy it is to have something happen where they're going to wind up on a registry. So it's having these elevator speeches and trying to come up with, of course, I'm going to be treading, this is going to sound like I'm borrowing something, okay, but in the Bible, there was a certain fellow who used parables to get certain points across. Parables, storytelling, okay. So I would hope that everybody, if you haven't done so, come up with something. And you don't make it, and this is something I learned early on, you don't make it me, poor little me. You don't. You open it up. And instead of saying, okay, let's reform sex offense laws, da-da-da-da-da, okay, do you agree that if we're going to have real, meaningful criminal justice reform, don't you think it needs to be applied without exclusion, without exception, you know, across the board, no carve-outs, nothing like that? So you might have to hide your agenda, if you will, in the bigger picture. So those,
yeah, Janice those, makes a comment in the margins that I heard a statistic recently that a teen is more likely to end up on the registry than to be a victim of sexual abuse. I've been saying that for years.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's what you should be afraid of. You know, and I recently attended a graduation ceremony for one of my nieces, and all of her siblings were there. All of her sisters and their boyfriends were there. These are women that I've known for 35 years. Not a single one of them asked me anything about said hi to me, looked at me, said a single thing to me, asked me how my kids were. I'm like, I've known you guys for 35 years. We asked, like, I care about your children. And so eventually I wrote an 8-page letter where I was like, a combination of like, how is this? Like, we sat through a Catholic mass. How is this like what Jesus would do? Number one. Number two, like, I didn't do anything. I'm literally just making it possible for this man to feel some love in his life. Number three, the thing he did, you guys have 11 kids between you. One of those kids is, you should be getting a VPN. Like, they're looking at porn. All those kids are looking at porn. And they're all sending each other naked pictures of their boobs and their dicks. And they're all getting on, you know, scrolling right and left on Tinder. And like, I hear these stories all the time. I tell them the story, you know, the guy that called me from Hawaii, some girl swiped right on him. They fucked all day for 3 days in a row. And on day four, she changed her mind, went to the cops and said sexual assault. That is a very like empathy grabbing story. I can imagine any one of my nephews and nieces doing that.
And right? let me add a little something to that, if I may. There were some stories that I'm aware of here that it was a Romeo and Juliet type thing.
Yep.
But the two had been sexting graphic images to each other. And of course, the parents of the girl, who was a year or so younger, waited until the young man turned 18 before they called the authorities. And of course, he was charged with not only sexual abuse of a minor, but receiving child porn images. But what happened is that a day or so later, the girl was arrested because she was charged with manufacturing and distributing child porn, which is
The
something
girl is the boy's victim, and the boy is the girl's victim.
which is something that the
And
girl.
like, follow the money, people. Like, we're literally building prisons. We incarcerate 10 times more people than any other country,
because we
any other
incarcerate
first
as
world
a first
country.
resort. We
The
incarcerate
people
as
who
a
are
first
like at our
resort.
level are like, El Salvador. We're not trying to win this race with El Salvador. We're building prisons in the Everglades. It's terrifying.
And the way the laws, the ways our laws are set up, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine who spends part of her time in California, staged an intervention that literally the last second. Her daughter had a couple of grandchildren who were taking a bath together one evening, and the daughter thought it was oh so cute. She was going to take some pictures of the kids in the tub. Of course, they were all in the buff, and was going
I
to
did
share
that. I
them
did that
and
with
was
my
going to
kids.
share them with their friends online. If the grandmother had not intervened and had said, "Wait, you do this, be prepared for this." And the mother was, she had no idea. She had no idea that something so innocent intent could put them all in such danger. So again, it's how easy it is. And again, to have and to use stories like that. I've told people, okay, have you ever taken pictures of your children when they were toddlers, when they were infants and all? And then I have to shock them and say, okay, yeah, you do that by today's standards, you're on the sex offense registry. You've manufactured child porn. And again, these elevator speeches that I'm talking about, focus on some of them. Share our elevator speeches. Borrow, come up with examples that everybody can relate to, because that's something that will get their attention.
I agree. We need to talk to the community about what they're concerned about in the language that they use, because they're not concerned about rational sex offense laws, guys, or carve outs, and they're not the least bit concerned about abolishing the registry. We're not going to connect with people with those messages on that level, because they're not going to care about that until they care about how these things happen. And so
Well,
you
these stories, we have so many stories, like the Joey's friend story, who like had consensual sex in college with a girl who was drinking. Well, in Pennsylvania, that's illegal.
against the law. And those are the conversations that we need to, and the messaging that we need to be. So as organizations, because many of us are part of organizations, and as individuals, every opportunity, those are the messages that we need to be sharing with people, because that's what will resonate with them. And I think we've spent a lot of our energy doing good stuff, right? Encouraging each other and supporting each other and helping ourselves advocate for ourselves, educating ourselves. And those are great messages. But if we want to change the public, our culture, the community's mind about things, we have to talk about what they care about in the language that they use. And so, what do they always say? Well, they're always concerned about that one child, right? We always hear about, well, if it saves one child. And they're concerned about prevention, and they're concerned about safety. And if we could couch every single conversation that we have as an organization and or a individual in those terms, using the words that the community uses, because they don't know our jargon, it doesn't mean anything to them. And if anything, it probably
You're right.
puts them off. You can use a We're going to connect more frequently. And when we change their minds, that puts a lot of pressure on the people that are bullying us. And those people, like I said, and like John said, they've existed forever. So now they have the internet and they make threatening posts. But it used to be that they burned crosses on your front yard. Okay. And they, everybody knows the quote that they came for the socialists, but I wasn't a socialist, and they came for the Jews, and they came for me, but there was nobody left. Okay. Well, we need to be couching it like that. So, this just happened to Your best friend, your kid's best friend, but it's about to happen to your kid if it's not already happening. And if they, when they understand that, and like we need to stop being so shy and reticent about talking about these things. So, and like you, I had an opportunity just the other day. I'm on an airplane, right? And a lot of times, if I'm on my way to a conference or something, I will not even. Because I'm usually writing something. I won't even have my laptop up because people look over and read what you're writing, and it's like none of their business. But I didn't have my laptop out. But the guy sitting next to me was a Jabberwock. He is a blah 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 blah. I mean, he was. You think I can talk? That dude couldn't give me a word in edgewise. But I listened to him, and he was an attorney, and he was a criminal defense attorney. And yes. And so I decided, hey, you know, usually I just want to be quiet on the plane, but I'm like, there's a reason why this guy's talking my ear off. I'm going to listen to him. So he's telling me everything about everything. He tells me that he's a criminal defense attorney, and that he often defends people with sex offenses. And I'm thinking, well, there's my in, right? And
Yeah,
so
100%.
without telling him any more than I needed to about myself, I told him about how, well, I'm like, you know what? That's interesting, because I advocate for persons who've gotten into that kind of trouble, and let's talk. Before we were done with the conversation, I had given him my contact information because he was defending a young autistic man, grown man, but young autistic man who lives right here in the county next door to me. And he wanted me to help the mother find additional resources. He was having a difficult time. He's the attorney, but he doesn't know about all these extant resources, which we do, because we are those resources, right?
And
So just like
this is
John said,
where.
he didn't know anything about him. Well, she doesn't either. So he gave her my phone number. I honestly didn't expect a phone call. She called the other day, and I already hooked her up with a whole bunch of resources. And she was like John. She was like, I said, you know, I think you might find it really helpful to talk to a family support. She's the one I talked to you about the other day.
Ah, that's
And she
right.
said,
Among those
there,
resources,
yeah.
among
And
those resources,
she said, is there such a thing? She
Did
didn't
you
know there was
include
such a thing. She was shocked.
contact information or anything about Larry Dubin? Because his son is on the autism spectrum and wound up on the registry for looking at online porn. He and his son wrote a book about what it's like to be autistic and to be on the registry.
Well, I'll get that book. I
Here's
did not give her that resource, but I gave her a bunch of other
put it in the
ones.
chat.
Yeah,
John.
put it in the chat, John. Barry Dubin. But the fact is, she was absolutely incredulous. She had no idea that there was such a thing. She was like, there's a support group for this? I'm like, yeah. I said, I really think you need a tribe, because she's been doing it all by herself. And there was pieces that, even though he's a very competent criminal defense attorney, there was stuff he didn't know about, and that was exactly why he was pumping me for information. And I'm like, I'm happy to help, but if we are not open to those conversations, you know, we do not. I'm a woman forced to register, and while he didn't know that, I didn't actually say that. I told him I knew things about that, and I advocated for persons. He doesn't have to know that. I'm advocating for myself too. But we should be open to those conversations, because it's in those moments that we plant seeds.
100%.
Yep.
100%. And I have these conversations literally everywhere I go. I'm waiting in line for my pizza at the ice skating rink or whatever.
And that's
And
what we should be doing in response to what these guys are doing.
I agree. I agree. Making PSAs
Yep.
and
Yeah.
anyway, I'm super looking forward to, so tell us, just give us a little a little teaser maybe. For you're coming on in, I think it's August, question mark.
So, you know, we're going to talk. I'm going to come on in August and talk about what. So I have a support group. It's called Shine Voices, and we were and still are going to present it in Ars Hall. And we've got a going to be presenting about a project we're working on, and I'm going to do a little preview. It will not be the presentation at Ars Hall, so I still want
Don't
people to
want to, yeah, we're going to still
know.
come to your presentation in
Now, I'm not
ours.
going to wreck the show or anything. You're still going to see something completely unique at Ars Hall when they do put it back together. And I'm hoping if you're not attending in person, you're live streaming. But I'm going to give a little preview. And so it is has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight, and that's about messaging to the public, the community, the culture at large. Not preaching to the choir per se, which I do believe in and I do a lot of. That's what I'm going to be doing at NARSAL. But specifically to taking a tack to change the narrative. And the tack that we're taking is to talk about prevention. It'll be an we're actually developing a new organization called WASH, and where it's all about prevention messages, and delivering those and how we're going to deliver them. And but I really feel like that's the next step in
I agree.
our evolution as advocates, because
Well, I mean, and honestly, I wish someone had told like half the people that call me. I'm like, oh, I wish I could just broadcast the messages, the lessons I'm learning from all these phone calls out to the universe.
You
Well,
can.
and
You
that's
can.
yeah, you got
Right
that was part of my
now. All right, let me tell you, right now, I'm on social media and I'm really pushing this. Within the past 24 hours, I got 11,000 likes about what we are talking about right now. 11,000 different people have liked this. And I'm talking exactly what we are talking right now, not holding nothing back, no punches.
Yeah, you
We have
do.
to enter
How do we talk to the people
2025.
like me who are not watching social? We're not
Well,
on all those things all the time.
you have to make it available in a lot of different formats and platforms. And Joe's my man. Joe, I love you.
Love you too, man.
Joe and I are partnering. So he's a partner in WASH, and in fact, it's a kind of a project where it needs a lot of partners. Anne is one as well.
Yeah.
As are other people who are on this call, and they can tell me if they want me to say so.
Yeah.
But it has to be delivered in a lot of different ways. It has to be, because not everybody is going to receive it or digest it or get it in the same way. So I love what Joe's doing, because that is, although he's gonna involve me and teach me how to do it, that isn't necessarily my strong suit. And so that's one of the things that we've been discussing at length, on how to deliver the message in as many ways as possible to make it accessible to everyone. It has to resonate with everybody, it has to be real, and it has to be accessible by everyone. And I love that Joe is already out there,
Yep, me too.
because that's a front runner.
He is. That is really exactly what Joey is. When he showed up on the scene, at first it was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how do people are going to feel about this. Like, I think Joey's amazing,
Yeah.
but I didn't know how you would, but you got some sort of magic that is just like, you can't not love you.
It's true.
Shit.
He just exudes this like positive energy.
That's what we need more of. We have a we have way too much negativity. So, like, why would I not play that part and try to get everyone to be positive? Like, we have too much infighting already in our group. Like, that's
Oh,
the bad
100%.
part, like the strength is in numbers, like those guys have numbers. If we banded together, we have more people than the Proud Boys. Like, there are more people with us
But the problem
than
is
there
that
are
we
the
have
Proud
not,
Boys.
we have been scared to band together.
That's the thing.
People have been scared to
That's
even tell their neighbors,
this is
right?
the thing. This is
Because of
why.
all the Lindas and Morgans in the world and all the haters. But the thing is, if we don't stand up to those haters and make them, if we all just hide and move to another place, then it's the last thing. It never works out for us. Like, they're not stopping, they're getting worse. And just by the number of calls I'm getting, and the number of oh, there's another Haiti, find the, hunt down the people on the registry websites, those calls have skyrocketed just this year.
Yeah, it's the climate of the country, but really, like, the approach that I take the Black Panther approach with everything I do, or I take the old civil rights approach with everything I do. You really think those groups gave a fuck about the Klan? You really think that they cared about the skinheads? You really think that they cared about any opposition? We don't, like, those people don't have the level of intellect that we have on in this group. We have
That's
the
so true.
highest level of intelligence out of anyone who's committed any crimes, anyone who is
That's a
convicted
fact.
of a crime of sexual nature. Those are the guys in the prisons that are the tutors. Those are the guys in the prisons that are the educators.
You're right.
So if we all band together and put our intellect together, what the hell can we really do? And this is what I speak about on TikTok. Like, literally, my first video, I've only been on TikTok for 6 days, right? So my first video only had 6 likes. My next video had 1,100 likes. This is all lives because I'm talking about our situation. Then the next one had 377 because I got on at a dumbass time. The next one had 3,705 likes. Then the next one had 879. And then the next one had 5,068, which was done earlier. So it's only climbing.
That is a lot of numbers. I can't do that many numbers.
They're it's escalating.
All of us.
See, the chart's
if
going
we get on there and we broadcast 10 to 15 minutes, our plights, people are listening. And a lot of the people that are listening are difference makers. Because some of the other content creators have reached out to me and they said, hey, would you mind talking about like the misuse of sexual energy? Would you mind talking about what it's like to be on the registry? People are interested in what we have to say. Fuck the Proud Boys. I don't care what, like, we definitely had to take that threat serious. And I'm glad that Narsol did what they did because that shit could have got goofy. I was locked up with a lot of people that are psychopaths, and you never play with people who have an agenda. You never play with people who have a scope on their rifle and they're ready to aim and bang that shit. You don't ever play with those types of people. So if you see a post that says execute them or execute this, and it's a picture of our sister, you don't play with that. That's nothing to play with. There are people in prison who kill people. Like, we sometimes, I think we forget that people are actually crazy. You know what I mean? And people actually are looking to martyr shit because they've never been anything in life. So this is their way of shining. They took that plight really serious. But what we need to start taking more serious is the unification. We got to stop fighting inside of our plight. I've been on football teams, baseball teams, basketball teams my whole life. I never was on a winning team that was as divided as we are. Every team that I've been on that's been divided like that, I've been on plenty of winning teams. And I've been on plenty of losing teams. Each team that I've been on that was a losing team was super divided in the locker room or in the dugout. It's the same way with this shit. We go into these groups, we go into these rooms, we go into these coalitions, we act like things are cool for the hour and a half that we're on Zoom. And then next thing you know, this person's stealing power from that person. That person saying this about that person. We already have enough negative shit going on in our lives. We will never defeat any groups. We will never change any minds if we're divided.
And divided. That's what it's about. And divided. We've talked about this on the program. And Joe, please, again, outreach to minorities who are on the
radio. For sure. That's really, I'm talking to all the athletes.
Yes.
You know, guys like there's Brian Banks, all those guys, they're responding to me. Like they hear the authenticity and genuineness in my voice. And realness. They recognize a lot of fake shit. So that's why a lot of people aren't jumping on this, because there's a lot of inauthenticity in our plight. And it's felt. So that's why you don't get a lot of people who are people of color or people who just have a bullshit detector. They know who's doing this for the people and some people that are standing here just because it's about them, but they're not telling us that. Nobody's going to reveal, oh, this is about me.
Mm-hmm.
This shit's got to be about all of us, because it's not going to end. You know what I mean? This is not going to end. The people that are up against us, they were up against every messenger. I don't care which belief you come from, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Buddhist, everybody's leaders had opposition. Yeah. Sometimes those leaders had to say, you know what? Let me duck this way and go that way. They never stopped and cowered, though, but they never really paid attention to the opposition enough. If we don't pay attention to these people or feed into what they're doing, that shit will die out. That's just a fire. That's all it is. And if you don't pay attention to fire, it suffocates itself.
I agree. Amen, brother.
That's very true.
And the other thing is, there's another, and that is so true. And that would be a reason for us not to be giving a lot of attention. So some people have been sending me some of the posts, like a lot of the posts, which is not something that I would ever... Because I know they're happening. I'm fully aware of that. When I lived in another state, and I'm sure these people still exist, I had my own personal vigilantes that lived in my neighborhood that were pulling shit like this lovely woman that spoke with us earlier. And that's why I'm very much empathized with what she's going through, lived it. And also had my own personal set of internet trolls. And so I just completely know how it is. And you know how I dealt with that? There was a lot of different things I did, but you know what I did? First, I stood up for myself, like she is, and I called the police the minute that at any time they stepped over the line, and I demanded my rights. And then I also kept a lot of good records. Ye with the most documentation wins. And secondly, I did not read any of their crap. If somebody ever tried to show it to me, I'm like, I'm not interested in that. That has nothing to do with me.
For
And
sure.
so the more we playing into it, like Joe said, the more we're giving them energy, we're blowing on their fire, which smells really bad, by the way.
Totally. It's like a gas,
Smells.
it's like the worst oil fire you can smell. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not a
Yeah, that's
pure fire. Everything that they
no.
do is impure. Nothing that they
No.
do comes from a source of purity. Everything that they say is trash. And
Yep.
a few of them actually are from my neighborhood. And I went to school with one. And him and I are actually kind of like friends still. And he knows my
Wow.
situation. Everyone does. So what I want to do is I want to ask him. I'm going to reach out
Oh,
to him,
wow.
right? I'm going to ask him, did you hear anything about the Narsal stuff? Because this could be really smoke and mirrors, and it could only be about 30 of those motherfuckers that are doing this, and the rest of the Proud Boys have no idea.
They
Like
might
they,
not.
you know what I mean? They may or may not. We may be giving them too much energy. That's what
We
this house talked
are.
about. You know,
We
like
are.
we are focusing on all the wrong shit. Like their agenda, they won. Like with that move, they won. So now if they won that, what the fuck are we going to do from this point forward? We cannot keep, we are a slave to that moment. What are we going to do right now, this point forward, moving on with each other?
Right.
Like, where are we going to start making the right connections? How are we going to start filtering this into the schools and the universities across the country? Because that's an important place where we're missing fighting this shit. We've got to get to the youth and really explain to them how close they are to ending up on the registry, their brothers and
Yes.
sisters. So then they're the
Yes.
ones who are coming next to make the laws. They're the ones who are coming next to be the cops. They're the ones who are going to be the judges. Why are we
Yep.
talking to these people who are about to retire? They're
Yeah,
fucking leaving. They don't
they
care.
are the culture. They are
Yeah,
the
so
culture.
we've got to start infiltrating and going to universities and having lived experience panels. We've got to be conducting workshops. We need Miss Janice to come with us to law schools and talk to the law students about everything and how the law and the registry is messed up. We got to start fighting and changing our plight to something completely different because I don't know where the fuck we're fighting anymore. And I'm sorry for using this language like this. But I really don't know what we are fighting anymore, except each other.
Let me add a little something. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. At a HBCU here in Little Rock, a student group put together an exact, full down to the last inch replica of an isolation cell found at pretty well any of the Arkansas prisons. And they set it up on the campus, and I saw what it did to college students who had no idea what it was like. Three young women were just happily chatting away, just to give you this example that just really stands out. One at a time, they stepped into this replica of this isolation cell. They were only in it, say, for about 2 or 3 minutes each. But when they came out, their whole attitude, their whole mind had just changed. They were not happily chatting anymore. And I've talked with more than a few formerly incarcerated individuals, not just those on the registry. And I told them, every time I told them about this isolation cell, their response was one of the best, one of the kindest things you can do is to take that cell, which is prefabricated. You can take it down, put it up, and take it to every public K-12 school in the state, set it up, and have every student get in there and just sit in it for just a couple of minutes. He said that was the kindest thing to do. To basically, it was be an intervention to let a lot of these kids know what it's like to be incarcerated, to take it to the extreme. And there was even an effort that the school tried to get that isolation cell set up in our state capitol when the legislature was in session. Surprise, surprise. The legislators objected to having any such thing inside the state capital. But Joe, what you were just saying is, okay, yes, it has to be the young people. There was, I remember years, decades ago, a young friend of mine, some years younger than me at the time, he was very sexually voracious. And using the standards of today, he would have been on the registry when he was 14. But there was no one and no effort made to say, well, wait a minute, don't you think you better kind of step back and take a look at what you're doing and the risks, the hazards, the possible consequences. So, Joe, you hit the nail on the head. Yes, it's got to be directed more and more, as you said, to the up and coming, to the younger
generation.
Yeah,
I don't know any groups that ever started like with civil rights or any type of organization that was like, all right, you know what? We're going to go get the 50-somethings. They all went to the youth. Like the 50-somethings are needed, but the youth are the most important because they're the ones who are going to carry the torch.
You're right.
So if we're not educating them, then we're educating people who like already have a preconceived, like the youth, they're studying for a reason. Their minds are receptive to their plights for a reason. So that's why we got to have people like Beverly go up and talk to people. We got to have people like Danelle, not tell exactly why she's there, but tell her life story. And then at the end, tell the kids. So it's like dropping a bomb on them. They would never know that. Or an attorney like Miss Janice, say we go to Penn's Law School and we have Miss Janice explain everything that she does for people on the registry and the story that she told us about how she got into this. Those stories are the ones that need to be highlighted. People like yourself, and you talk to them about, I have a traumatic brain injury. I didn't lose my sense of empathy for people. I may have lost certain things cognitively, but I know one thing I didn't lose was my damn heart for humanity. We need people. Yeah. It's a strategic play that we will have to broadcast in front of people, and it's going to have to have fresh faces and fresh content that's in 2025. We can't fight this anymore from 1997. We can't fight this no more from 1988. We live in 2025, a place where you can make $1 million from your home from being on a dumbass app and having a product. It's a different world. So if it's a different world, we have to fight in a different form of advocacy.
Yeah.
Yes. And we need to speak the language of the people that we're trying to change their minds.
Yes. And there will be more and more people coming out of the woodwork if we do it this way.
Yes.
If we don't, it's going to be an uphill battle. I'm willing to fight because I'm a person living under this label. But at the same time, I'm a person that also knows we can fight this in another way and really be successful. But the success is in numbers. We can't do this shit by ourselves. Everybody has to play a part. Like, regardless of how big or small your part is, some of us may be standing out front with the megaphone doing all of this shit, Bobby Sealing. But then you may have some people that just may need to get a few cases that could help us out and help Miss Janice look in a different direction. And I always use Miss Janice, not just because she's in here, but she's our champion attorney. And people need to start treating it like that, too. I don't know why, like, we all aren't together. Like, I don't want to start this right now, but we need, like, Axel, Darsal, everybody together, Miss Janice, our attorney. Like, who the fuck else are we going to use fighting for us?
Amen.
That's
to that.
Dumb as hell. If we go anywhere else, like, we need that. Someone who is concrete with that. All of us play a major part. Everybody that feels like, yo, I don't know what to do, some days just listen to me talk. That might be the part that you play. Some days listen to Danelle talk. That might be the part that you play. It's not always a major thing, man. Like, we need the toenail, we need the eye, we need the brain, we need the fucking thumb. We need every part of the body to come apart. The body doesn't work properly if them couple toes are missing on that foot. You can't run the same.
We want this body
to be 100%, and that all takes us being unified. Yeah, we're not all going to like, that's human shit. We're not all going to like everything about every, I don't like everything about myself. What makes you think I'm going to like everything about you? But we've got to find the commonality, and the commonality is we don't want this shit to exist anymore. We may not eradicate the registry immediately, but we may eradicate that false belief that people on the registry are dangerous. And then it helps reform the registry by educating people like, do you really realize where all this shit comes from? We have treatment specialists. We have
the other thing that I think is really like, to me, it's very impactful is the knowledge that I've gained just from being on this group and reading and learning. But like the thing that people are the most scared of is the thing that happens to 93 or 95% of the people, which is somebody they know, an uncle, a cousin, a grandpa, a dad, whatever, somebody they know touches them. This doesn't
That's
fix that. This makes this worse. Making it so that every single state has mandated reporters doesn't fix that. And not healing up from your own trauma doesn't fix that. So we need
complete.
to reach out to people who were traumatized and never healed, and we need to find them help, because when you don't heal up from your trauma when you were a kid, when you grow up and it's happening around you, your brain shuts that shit down and you don't see it. Your role as a bystander is reduced because your brain says, oh, no, we're gonna just pretend that didn't happen. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. And that is the opposite of what we hope people will do.
Yeah.
And I've just learned so much about, when you put all the pieces together, when you put together the pieces of what was that guy's name? Gerald Blanchard, where he had gone and spoken to all these men who were incarcerated for touch crimes. He'd had long conversations with them, and he shared all these little notes that he'd taken during those sessions that made us really empathize with what it's like to be that most hated person, and what that does to your brain to grow up your whole life knowing that everybody around you thinks you're just the devil. That is not good for people. And so he had three things that he knew about. That was the most fascinating conversation. He had talked to all these men inside and had developed, had shared with us all this information that made it easier to have empathy with people who do the worst of the worst, like the touching your child stuff. Then he had information about restorative action circles, the Native American, like he'd gone to, I've forgotten the name of it, in Canada. He'd gone there and taken their classes, and they'd brought their classes to him in Des Moines. So he knew all kinds of stuff about those awesome circles that, Restorative Action Alliance runs now for a lot of us. And then he also had a lot of information about using different psychedelic drugs as, so one of them was like really good at developing empathy. If someone had like somehow missed the empathy lesson growing up, this drug, I think it was MDMA, was really good at like somehow helping them make their empathy stuff work better. Then he had another one that was really good for helping you get unaddicted to opioids. And I've been listening to a book on tape called How to Change Your Mind, which is all about psychedelic drugs and all the different ways that they, almost all of those psychedelic drugs grow out of the ground and have been growing out of the ground, or like, some weird toad makes it when they secrete something.
The
Like,
cane toad, yeah.
it's all weird stuff that like it's here better than alcohol was here, right? And so I think we're really missing out on a lot of great medicines, and I wish the world could be a little bit more open-minded about that.
We're missing out on a lot of great medicine through knowledge also, and because the way that I've been really getting to certain individuals that I never thought that I would is explaining what they call ACEs, which is adverse childhood experiences, right? And it's a
Yep,
test
yep, yep,
that
yep.
like you can help people. That really is something that helps people truly understand how a person ends up in a situation. And it's an awesome empathy fosterer
Hang on a
because
second.
you place a person in a situation in their own minds where they're trying to identify things that happened to them in their childhood. And then you say, that happened to me too. So what makes you think that the chances in my life that wasn't going to be greater, or the chances, instead of it being 50%, it's 70% because this is what I endured from when I was 5 to X amount. When we can explain that type of stuff with the professionals, with the analytics, with the right bullshit on the screen, because people are like children and want to see colors on a screen. So we got the screen doing all this shit, talking about adverse childhood experiences. It helps people empathize a little bit more with what we've been through, because all of us who have committed the crimes can point it back to a point in life where something happened in our house. So that's why we use the pink elephant with stuff, because it's time for us to address those issues that happen in every household or family in America. We need to stop lying about the shit that did and didn't happen in our families sexually. I come from an awesome family, but there was a lot of shit that I learned from my brother and his friends that the average five-year-old should have never learned. They were 18. They thought that they were being funny, but it ended up taking me on another path. But I wouldn't have never been able to understand that if I didn't know how adverse childhood experiences actually affected my entire life. So me using that now on the platforms that I'm using it on, it's helping people understand not only the shit that happened in their life, but damn, that's how Joe ended up in that crazy ass predicament. So if we have people to help us explain that type of stuff, not only are we trauma informed, we're fucking trauma responsive. Now that you know what happened to me, how do you respond to me? Because a lot of people are out here talking restorative justice and trauma informed. Well, to restore something brings it back to that state. I don't want to be restored to the state that I once was. I want to be restored and transformed. So there's a second part to restorative justice that's not being spoke about. It's transformative justice. You've got to learn how to restore somebody and then transform how they feel and how they think before you can do anything. And it's the same thing with trauma. You can be informed, you know, people, oh, I'm trauma informed. Well, what are you doing? We've got to make people, instead of being trauma informed, they've got to be trauma responsive.
Well, and you bring that up and you make me keep thinking of these different groups that are victims' rights and the need for war, NARSOL, et cetera, to contact, to reach out to victims' rights groups as a way of trying, as you said a little while ago, to find that commonality.
Agreed, John. But we need to, I think we need to be, I think that we need to be identifying ourselves as survivors and reaching out to survivors groups and ones that call themselves victims' rights groups or victims. They need to be a part of the team. That's something that Joe and I have recognized in developing our messaging for WASH. It's about that this is a human problem.
Yeah. Yes.
We are all humans. That this is us against them, good guys, bad guys, those people. I mean, that the whole, you know, dichotomy of demonizing this group over here.
The othering. Because, the othering.
Yeah, right. Othering. Is that needs to be set aside, and we need to be facing all these taboo issues like Joe is, with just being real and truth. And and one of the things that, you know, what we're going to be doing is being brave enough to share from our lived experience.
So,
what are the red flags? What are the things we learned about ourselves, about what happened, so that we can share those things in a way that resonates with people so they see themselves in that.
Yes.
It's if you can communicate it in a way that the person can see themselves, then they can see how this could be them, how this could happen to them, how it maybe already did happen to them and need to heal from that, how that they could prevent it from happening to them. And they can also by default have empathy for every person that has happened to, and those especially that got in trouble for it. Because like Joe said, this is a human problem.
It's happening to everyone.
Yes. Yeah. And, and the whole perpetuating the, it's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
These people and these people. No, it's all of us.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, Mike, I came from a family where it was just sort of understood, like, you don't leave your kids with grandpa. You don't leave your kids with Uncle Marty. Like, that was just sort of understood.
And by you saying that, Ann, everyone knows that. It's just up to everyone to be honest and real about, holy shit, that's my family too. Holy my family too. You know, everyone has that, or else it wouldn't be a thing. Don't leave them with Uncle such and such. Like, that wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't a universal issue.
You know, like, it's a universal issue.
Like, it's the misuse of that energy is prevalent. Like, you know what I mean? So if when people speak about that, and they're like, oh, no, like, I would never want to tell that. Well, why would you not? You're actually you're actually educating people is making the community safer. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's our own tiny little registry. It's like, we just sort of understand. And I really loved the last time we had, what was her name? Restorative Action has some fantastic webinars. This is the one with the woman talking about how in this Native American society, I think in Canada, because they're their own, they're not part of the United States. Maybe they're just Native American. Maybe they just have their own little reserve. But they basically said, no, we don't want your system handling our tricky older men who need some help. They handled it, and the way they
Yeah,
handled it was just so good.
that's all reservations in America, and all reservations in America operate under their own governance. You know what I mean? So they have their own rules, they have their own things that they do when they deal with things of that nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And it's
and one
not
of the
to say
things she
like,
said is she just trained all the people in the community. This guy didn't have a car, so he had to walk to and from work. And she trained everyone in the community to like say nice things every time they passed him. It was just expected that everyone was going to be
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, they understand forgiveness. They don't have the vendetta deep in their souls, but that's for
Oh,
another topic. That's for a
and
spiritual topic.
they asked the men to be the ones who like went and visited shut-ins, because when you're a shut-in, having somebody come visit you regularly, that's an amazing win for both of you. You
Yeah,
both
and
need someone to talk
we
to.
have a lot of that in our like in our whole. We have more shut-ins in our group than any other group. Why would we not? You know, so that's why it's important for us to be reachable. It's important for us to be approachable. It's important for us to not think that we're grander than anybody else because we have so many shut-ins. And a lot of people that reach out to me, I don't know their plights, but I sometimes imagine like this guy may not have anyone to talk to. That's why his messages are like epic novel. He has no one to talk to. Do you know how many people are like that in our plight?
So many.
That's what we need to start really focusing on are the people who are shut-ins. Not even just the ones who are on the registry, but it makes their families turn into shut-ins because their families don't want to go to the grocery store and be pointed at, like, oh, that's the person on the registry. They didn't have nothing to do with what happened. Why are they being penalized for that? It makes your
Yeah,
kids
absolutely.
shut-ins. But all this stuff, if it's not brought the right way to the right people, this shit all stays on these Zooms. We got to, you know, get out
No,
and
you're
approach it in
absolutely
a
right.
different way.
You're absolutely right. And this is why pretty much everywhere I go, if an opportunity comes up for me to talk about the registry, oh, I'm going to be talking about the registry. And the number of my peers who are like, that is really, I want to talk to you about this more later.
Yes. That's exactly what, like, I jumped out the window on TikTok with this. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go on TikTok and be my creative self and not explain my situation. I'm going to go on TikTok and I'm going to talk about reform and I'm going to talk about my life, which includes the registry. So I need to speak about this. There are more people who are embracing me than me talking about any of my creative or artistic talents. They want to hear more about the registry. They want to
Oh,
hear more about
absolutely.
how that shit
Absolutely,
is
because there's a lot
unsafe.
of you.
Because
There's
they
a
don't
lot of
know this. And
there's a lot of you out there.
I'm broadcasting it like, yo, do you realize this could be your brother? Do you realize this could be you? This your dad, your mom, your sister. Like, you don't know who could end up on this. Like, I
Right,
didn't
and
ever
that was
think
part of my
see
eight-page
myself
letter.
landing on this. I never had a problem with women, but I fell so far deep into a depression, it took me back into a state where I thought I was comfortable again as a 17-year-old, as a 23-year-old man. Like, I didn't know that this type of stuff was happening to me. I couldn't explain that. There was no professional to tell me, like, Joe, this is happening to you and you need help. I never saw myself going to prison, let alone for a crime of a sexual nature. I never wanted for any type of female attention as a kid. So this was so out of order for me. But adverse childhood experiences increased my chances of this happening in my life. I didn't know that before.
Yeah, that is the truth. Okay, it's 8:29, everyone. I don't want to waste our I don't want to take more of our time than we have, so I want to make sure everybody gets the how to save the chat, because there's so much stuff in the chat. I had to quit
Yes, there
looking at the
is.
chat because I couldn't pay attention to both the chat and you guys. Okay, so I absolutely love talking to everyone. We're going to go to the chat, and at the tippy top there's three arrows, I mean three dots. Click on those three dots, and one of the dots we'll say save chat. Anybody that wants to call me tomorrow or someday this week, I would take that call. I love you all. Joy, let's
Love you
find,
too, Ann.
I don't know when you're going to where, Arizona?
Yeah, I'm gonna call you tomorrow. I'll call you
Call
tomorrow
me
though, Ann.
tomorrow. Okay.
And anybody can hit me up at any time.
Oh,
There's
look at
my
that.
number.
There's
Thanks. Love
Joey's
you
number.
guys. And we're gonna do this shit right. I'm out of here. I gotta
You're
go do
doing this
something
shit
mean.
right.
All right.
Go eat. Thank you both for
Thanks,
showing up.
Ann.
when I
Yeah,
didn't have a
thanks, Danelle,
speaker.
John, Beverly, Jane, everybody's names. Love you guys. Peace. Miss Janice, you're the best.
Love you, Janice.
Love you, Janice.
So good to talk to y'all. Good night.